meetings. The MPD's documents suggested strict enforcement, but...
But when has that ever stopped us?
Someone called. Snickers sounded through the group.
Dunno, boss.
Aaron's familiar voice rang out, and I spotted the three guys at a table with a blue-haired girl.
Are you sure this won't change the first rule?
Don't hit first,
someone else began.
But always hit back.
The shout rang from almost every voice in the building. Eyes wide, I stared incredulously as Darius smiled like a proud parent.
The first rule will never change,
he said.
After all, don't forget our second rule.
More laughter.
Back to business. MPD has issued a few safety notices that...
His eyes turned and met mine. I lurched backward, clutching my Coke. As the door swung into place again, his voice continued with barely a stutter, and no screech of chairs warned of a furious stampede to lynch me for eavesdropping. Retreating into the office, I sat my unopened Coke on the desk. Don't hit first, but always hit back. What kind of a rule was that? If this really was an asshole's anonymous support group, they were teaching all the wrong lessons. I bit my thumbnail. He'd talked about GM responsibilities and what sounded like a regulatory body of some kind. That MPD thing. Maybe this was related to business or restaurants or something. I put it out of my mind. Whatever the meeting was for, it didn't matter because I wasn't coming back. I waited out the rest of the hour playing a game on my phone, though I did take a couple minutes to text Justin more details about where I was, just in case he needed to identify my body later. Shortly after 8, Clara appeared in the doorway.
How was your break?
She asked cheerily.
Ready to go again?
Yeah, I said heavily, not bothering to fake any enthusiasm. Her forehead scrunched with what was either disappointment or worry. But before she could comment, I pulled myself together and smiled. We returned to the front, and the atmosphere in the pub brought me to a halt just outside the saloon doors. Had Darius dosed everyone with laughing gas? Relaxed chatter filled the room, interspersed with joking tones and mirth. I blinked. Had to be drugs. No other explanation for the mood shift. I got back to work, but it was a breeze compared to earlier. And though I would never call them friendly, the patrons' antagonism and impatience had subsided. Either that or they were afraid I'd drench them if they were rude. Even the creepy old man was reasonably polite, so I poured him a real drink. The next hour slipped by, and between customers I assessed the bizarre gathering. An ancient Chinese couple was talking to a petite woman with a short bob that screamed attitude. Her platinum hair streaked with pale pink. Beside her was a guy with dirty blonde hair and thick glasses, who looked like he'd gotten lost on his way to a tech convention. Another table held a prim businesswoman with designer sunglasses perched on her head. Across from her was a young man with magnificent cheekbones, and hair longer than mine done up in elaborate braids, like an elfin cosplay. An old lady wearing a knit cap and turquoise-framed spectacles was showing off playing cards to a younger woman with tea-colored skin and wooden beads decorating her hair. And, of course, the three Wonder Boys. Aaron, the redhead joker. Kai, the exotic smooth talker. And the nameless third one. They lounged at a table with a pretty young woman. Her wavy hair dyed bright blue. At least they were leaving me alone. I ducked into the kitchen for more ice and found Ramsay perched on a stool, reading something on his phone with a hairnet covering his goth locks. Filling my bucket, I hauled the ice back to the front and groaned when I saw who was waiting for me. "What now?" I asked Aaron testily. He rolled his vibrant blue eyes. Kai and the other man flanked him, the former with his hands tucked in the pockets of his slim black jeans and the latter leaning casually against the bar.
"Well," Aaron cleared his throat, "even though meeting nights are on the house, we went around and collected some tips for you."
I stared at him. "You what?" He pulled a wad of cash from his pocket and pushed it across the bar.
"Don't play dumb. You earned it, new girl."
"My name is Tori," I snapped. I really wanted to snatch that pretty stack of bills, but I still had some pride. A second passed, then I stuffed the money in my apron pocket. Who needs pride? Thanks, I added. I appreciate it. As though offended by my suggestion that he'd done something nice, Aaron shot his nameless friend a scowl.
It wasn't my idea. But yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing you insult Sylvie again.
Are you looking forward to another margarita facial? I retorted. He flashed me a laughing grin that, to my horror, made my stomach flip. Just a little. Very minor. When he wasn't talking, the jerk was almost charming. Aaron and Kai headed back to their table, but the third guy stayed put.
Could I trouble you for a Coke?
Sure. I poured him one and slid it over. Was it your idea to collect tips for me? He murmured vaguely.
Like Aaron said, you earned it. We aren't the easiest bunch to deal with.
I thought he meant Aaron and Kai, but then I realized he meant everyone. The whole weird lot of them. I glanced across the pub, then back to him. Even knowing it was there, the scar cutting across his features threw me off, but I didn't hesitate when I met his mismatched eyes. He smiled, not Aaron's boisterous grin, but a quiet smile that exuded an infectious calm, and my stomach did another little somersault, damn it. "What's your name?" I blurted.
"Ezra."
He offered his hand over the bar, and I shook it. His grip was warm and strong, his palm calloused.
"Thanks for putting up with us, Tori. I hope you'll stick around."
I pulled a face before I could stop myself.
"We're not that bad, I swear,"
he said with a laugh.
"Anyone who can leave Aaron speechless will fit right in."
Carefully scooping up his drink like he might spill it. Not that it was overly full or that my bar wasn't plenty spilled on already. He rejoined his friends. I watched him walk away, admiring the view. Three super hot fit men, and one was actually nice. Not bad odds, I supposed. The evening wound down over the next hour. Before I knew it, the pub had emptied, the patrons wandering out in twos and threes, until it was just me, Clara, and Ramsay again. The quiet was almost deafening as I wiped tables and tucked in chairs. What a night. I was exhausted, and a heavy weight was growing in my stomach. Time for another rejection. I lifted my chin. Whatever. As much as I'd tried to control my temper, insulting rude customers, refusing to serve jerks, and standing up for myself while on the clock had been fun. I mean, most of the night had sucked balls, but throwing that margarita and shouting at Aaron had been satisfying as hell. Sighing, I cleaned up the last few tables as I returned to the bar. Clara burst through the saloon doors in the same haphazard rush as always. What could she possibly be hurrying over now? "Tori, I was worried you'd left." She slumped against the bar, almost knocking the soda gun out of its holster. "What a night. My feet are killing me." "Same." Her eyebrows knitted together. "How did your night go? What did you think?" "Me? My brain fizzled. What kind of question was that after the way I'd behaved? "I know they can be unpleasant," she said earnestly. "They're just very protective of... This is their safe place, you know? Anyone new is an unknown entity." Okay. "You did a really good job. And you didn't ask me for help at all. Darius was impressed, too." I could have used help more than once, but Clara had been almost as slammed and... Wait, did she say the general manager was impressed? "You were watching, weren't you? Didn't Darius see me throw a drink on those guys?" Clara laughed. "I didn't see it, but knowing Aaron, he had it coming. Kai and Ezra are almost as bad." "You're not mad? You're not throwing me out?" "Throwing you out?" Clara frowned at me. "Of course not. I want to hire you." I braced a hand on the bar. "I'm sorry, but are you drunk?" "Tori, you did an amazing job. I told you not to take any crap, and you didn't. The last five bartenders stuck around for all of a week. But I think you can handle it." She smiled encouragingly. "It gets better, I promise. Once they get used to you, you'll be a member of the gang in no time." There was that word again. Gang. Clara, don't take this the wrong way, but is this place doing, you know, criminal stuff? Because I'm not into that kind of thing. Oh, no. No, we follow regulations. Don't worry. She clasped her hands together. What do you think, Tori? Will you give it a shot? What was this ironic twist of fate? A manager begging me to take the job instead of the other way around? I'm not sure. Nasty people, weird gang stuff, alarming meeting mottos, dangerous part of town. There weren't many pluses here. I'll start you at $15 an hour. My eyes popped wide. Okay, that was a plus. Your schedule will be Tuesdays to Saturdays from 4 to 12. She continued. Cooper covers the bar on Sundays and Mondays, though I may call you in if he's out for the day and you're available. I pursed my lips. 4 to 12 worked perfectly with my college schedule. Another plus. You can eat whatever you'd like while you're on shift and non-alcoholic drinks are free. As long as you keep it reasonable, you can have a few other drinks, too. Okay, now she was seriously tempting me. Great pay, great hours, and free food. Will it be a problem if I'm, extra firm with difficult people when... Oh, not at all, Clara said happily, as though my question had been a hearty, aye, I'll take the job. She dug into her pocket and pulled out a folded stack of bills. Here's your pay for tonight. Can you work tomorrow? Sundays aren't normally your shift, but Cooper's sick, and it'll be a quiet night for you to learn your way around and get more comfortable. I blinked rapidly. That sounds good? Wonderful. Can you come at 3:30? We can do up your paperwork so you'll be ready to go at 4. And we can discuss your membership application then, if that's something you're interested in. She beamed and pulled me into an unexpected hug. Welcome to the Crow and Hammer, Tori. I was still shell-shocked when she dashed off. I'd been prepared to walk out and never return, but I had the job, and I was getting paid 15 freaking bucks an hour? Tilting my head back, I squinted at the huge hammer hanging above the bar. My confused elation twisted into a prickling sensation that crept down my spine. Just what had I gotten myself into? Chapter 5. I sat at the peninsula in Justin's kitchen and eyed the neat stack of bills laid out on the counter. The early afternoon sun streamed through the windows, warming my back. I pushed my loose curls, still damp from the shower, over my shoulders. Lips pursed, I methodically counted the money for the third time. By my best guess, Clara had paid me for a full 8-hour shift, even though I'd worked less than 6 hours. And the rest? I hadn't stopped to count the tips Aaron, Kai, and Ezra had collected for me until I'd gotten home. If I'd realized how much had been in that wad of cash, I'd have been a lot nicer to Aaron. Almost $400. $400. They must have approached every single person in the pub and gotten them to cough up 5 or 10 bucks, times 50 people. I bit my lower lip. Collecting tips had been Ezra's idea, but he seemed too quiet and soft-spoken for the job of getting money out of people. But Aaron and Kai, those two had likely done all the cajoling. Or bullying. Pushing away from the counter, I returned to the sofa and pulled my laptop onto my legs. The browser was still open to my earlier search. According to the internet, the Crow and Hammer had been in business for over 50 years. But its online presence was limited to a few restaurant review sites with no actual reviews, and one business listing. No internet presence meant no desire to attract new customers. Clara had called it their safe place, and mentioned something about a membership. I still couldn't figure out what would attract such an eclectic mix of people from all ages and walks of life to the same club. But maybe it was an invitation-only sort of deal. That would explain why they hadn't even bothered with a Facebook page. But what if it was an illegal organization hiding behind a pub front? A criminal gang with elderly members, businesswomen, girls my age, hot guys, goth cooks, and bubbly AGMs who gave new employees welcoming hugs. Something didn't add up. But the big question wasn't what the Crow and Hammer really was. The question was whether I wanted to work there. My gaze slid to the pretty piles of money. I was still staring greedily when the front bolt turned and Justin limped inside, shoulders bowed and his police uniform smudged with dirt. Justin! I tossed my laptop onto the sofa and ran down the hall. Are you okay? What happened?
I'm fine, he assured me. Tackled a guy. But I fell the wrong way and ended up in a ditch. All for nothing, too.
All for nothing? I ushered him down the hall to the kitchen where he sat on a stool. But you caught the guy, didn't you?
I did. But I couldn't complete the arrest. All I could do was confiscate the cash he was carrying. Thousands of dollars conned out of unsuspecting people. Filthy scam artist.
As he talked, I filled the kettle and plugged it in. For reasons I would never comprehend, Justin liked a cup of tea after a bad day. Me? I'd rather stomp around and shout at people until I felt better. Maybe he and I had gone into the wrong careers. I don't get it. You had him. Why couldn't you arrest him? Justin hesitated, then muttered,
"Stupid politics, I guess. It was out of my hands."
That's bullshit.
I think so, too.
He tapped a finger on the counter.
Tori, I gotta ask. What's with the cash?
I got out a mug, ignoring my stacks of money. Rent payment.
Is this all from that shift you picked up last night? Looks like you got good tips.
Really good tips. I poured hot water over the tea bag and slid the mug to him. They offered me a full-time position. Tuesday to Saturday, 4 to midnight. He didn't congratulate me, instead picking up the 20s from Clara and fanning them out.
Judging from your text while you were on break, I got the impression it wasn't going well.
Me neither, but I guess they want someone who's tougher. The clients are assholes, but... I nodded at the money. They tip well.
What's this place called again? Where is it?
I described my night, glossing over the weirder details because, I mean, how did I explain the motto chanting at the meeting?
That's a rough area. It's not safe, especially for a woman by herself.
He set the cash down.
And no offense, but it doesn't make sense that they'd hire you if you were throwing drinks and insulting people.
Yeah, I agree. It's weird. But maybe they're really desperate. I sat beside him. It's a job, right? And I really need it. I can work there for now and keep applying for something better.
It's not worth the risk. I can help you out until you find a new job, a safe one. Who knows if this place will stiff you, or worse.
I can handle it. I wasn't letting Justin take care of me. He was already sharing his apartment. It'll only be for a couple weeks.
You can't walk home at midnight. Not there.
There's a bus stop a block away. When he gave me a hard look, I grumbled, I'll take a cab home. That would eat into my earnings.
It isn't worth it. Let that job go and keep searching.
He pulled the money into a single pile and slid it toward me.
Hang on to this. I'll cover rent this month.
No. I pushed it back toward him. If I'm gonna live here, I'm gonna pay my fair share. He narrowed his eyes and I glared back. Angrily gulping the rest of his tea, he stood.
Why won't you ever let me help you, Tori?
Not waiting for a response, he headed into his bedroom. I watched him close the door, ignoring a trickle of guilt. I was keeping things even between us as best I could, paying rent, cleaning, keeping all my stuff confined to boxes. I scooped up the money and stuffed it into Justin's mail organizer. Despite my terrible employment track record, I hadn't missed a rent payment yet, and I wasn't going to. Even if that meant a stint as a bartender at the mysterious Crow and Hammer. Let's hope the place was as law-abiding as Clara claimed. Because if not, ruining Justin's career on top of mine would just be the icing on this year's craptastic cake. The walk from Justin's apartment to the Crow and Hammer took just over 30 minutes. This time I wore sensible shoes with capri pants and a sleeveless emerald blouse. My red curls were tamed into a ponytail. My bangs swept to one side where they would hopefully stay. I was ready for another shift from hell. If I was honest, the jittery anticipation pooling in my stomach was definitely more positive than negative. With an energetic bounce in my step, I inhaled the cool breeze. smelling of rain to come. I had a job. My wage had taken a huge jump, and management let me yell at customers. I really couldn't complain. The bright colors and busy sidewalks of Gastown transformed into the barred windows and boarded-up doors of the downtown east side, and within a few blocks, I was turning down a nondescript street. I stopped in front of a black door with peeling paint and faded lettering. Back again. When I reached for the door, sickening repulsion swept away my excitement. Like yesterday, I had the overwhelming urge to run in the opposite direction. Teeth gritted, I shoved through the door. The interior was quiet, but the rumble of voices drifted down the staircase in the corner. Only three customers were grouped around a table, a trio of familiar guys. Red hair, black hair, and brown curls were bent over a spread of paper. As I approached, Ezra's head lifted. His mismatched eyes, one warm brown and one white, met mine.
"She returns."
Aaron straightened, his grin flashing.
"Back for more punishment, new girl."
"Don't worry, I'm well armed. I'd have my soda gun after all." As I breezed past their table, Clara zoomed out of the kitchen with a handful of papers.
"Tori!"
She beamed at me. "I was afraid you might change your mind." "Nope, not me." I slid onto a bar stool as she rifled through the papers. Aaron, Kai, and Ezra had turned their attention to a large map. I'm relieved. Clara pulled out a paper and slid it to me, then handed me a pen. I'm so far behind. I have 6 months of paperwork I can finally catch up on now that I don't have to share bar shifts with Cooper. He'll be delighted to go back to his usual schedule, too. Working hard isn't his forte. I nodded absently as I frowned at the sheet. It didn't look like any employment paperwork I'd ever filled out before. A logo at the top of the page displayed the letters MPD, the same acronym Darius had mentioned during the meeting last night. With a mental shrug, I started filling it out. All the usual info, name, birth date, address, phone number, emergency contacts. A line near the top asked for a MID number, but I skipped it. Employee number, maybe? Clara could figure it out. I finished that one, and she slid over a perfectly normal tax form. A few tables away, Aaron's voice rose, irritation lining his words, but I stayed focused on the form. Last thing I needed was to screw it up and have the government subtract double taxes or something. "I'll need to make a copy of your ID and your server certificate," Clara said, reading over the first form. "Oh, and you forgot your MID number." I dug my wallet out of my purse and passed her my driver's license. "I forgot my what?" She didn't hear me as she took my ID. "Oh, you're from Ontario. Do you drive? We have a parking lot." "I drove in Ontario," I commented dryly. "But not here. Who needs a car?" She laughed. "No one who lives downtown has a car. Except that dummy." She called the last part of the three guys, and Aaron flipped her the bird without pausing his annoyed tirade. Something about being more cautious than a granny on an ice rink. Clara snorted, amused by his response. Me, I wanted to smack him for being rude. "Anyway," she said, pulling a second pen from her pocket. "I'll add your MID number while you..." I looked up. She was squinting at my license with a deep furrow between her brows. Then she extended my card. "I need your real ID." I blinked. "That is a real ID." "No, I mean your real ID." "Like my passport?" "No, your MID." She waved my license in emphasis. "This doesn't have an MID number." I leaned back, confused by her sudden agitation. "What's an MID number?" "That's not funny." When I gazed vacantly at her, she visibly paled. "Tori, what's your class?" "My class?" She pressed her hands to the bar top, eyes wide. "Your class, what is it?" "You mean at the community college? I'm taking..." "No, your mythic class." She shoved my card under my nose, even more frantic. "Why doesn't your license have a mythic identification number? You're registered, aren't you?" "Registered for what? Clara, I don't have a clue what you're talking about." Panic flashed in her eyes. Oh my God. I don't believe it. Don't believe what? You're human.
I blinked again, squinted, rubbed one ear like I might have misheard.
Beg your pardon?
Clara dropped my ID on the bar and hid her face behind her hands.
Darius is gonna kill me. Why didn't I check your ID last night? I'm an idiot.
Clara, I said, alarmed and confused in equal measure. I swear it's a real ID. I'm 21, old enough to bartend, and...
That's not the problem, she moaned. How did you even find out about this place? About the job?
She whipped her hands down.
Do you have a mythic relative? Did they tip you off about the job? Please tell me you do.
What's a mythic?
Oh, God. I'm in so much trouble. I never should have... But you were perfect. You weren't scared of anyone. Not even Aaron. I thought you were some badass mythic who wanted to bartend, but you...
Get over yourself, Aaron.
Kai's angry voice rose over Clara's.
We're not doing this your way. Not again. Your plans always end in fireballs and explosions.
Fireballs? Explosions? I glanced at them as Aaron snapped. What's wrong with that?
Tori.
Clara's panicked tone drew my attention back to her as Kai and Aaron continued to argue. Last night. Did you see anything?
Huh?
Did you see anything unusual?
Did I see anything unusual?
I repeated blankly.
Like what?
Say that again,
Aaron shouted furiously,
and I'll toast your pale ass to a healthy crisp.
His hand shot into the air, and fire burst from his fingers. The red flames danced across his skin, sparks raining down on the table. Curling his hand into a fist, he cocked his arm back, aiming for Kai.
Aaron!
Clara shrieked.
Put your fire away!
He froze in mid-motion, his fist still blazing.
Clara, what's wrong?
Put it out!
She yelled, her voice high with panic.
No!
He flicked his fingers open and the flames vanished.
Jeez, don't get your panties in a twist. I wasn't actually going to roast him.
Just shut up for once in your life, Aaron!
Clara pressed her hands to her head like she was trying to squeeze her brain.
This is already bad enough.
What's bad?
He pushed back from the table and strode over, Kai and Ezra on his heels.
What's going on?
I didn't move, my eyes fixed on his hand. His hand that had been engulfed in flames. Did that count as unusual?
I screwed up.
Clara groaned, covering her face again like she couldn't stand to see me.
I didn't check her ID yesterday.
Aaron slid my driver's license off the bar top and read it.
Victoria Dawson? Your name is Victoria?
I shook off my shock to scowl at his sniggering tone. Kai plucked the card out of Aaron's hand.
There's no MID number.
Is it a fake ID?
Aaron asked with amusement.
Did you hire a rogue, Clara?
Worse,
Clara whispered.
She's human.
The three guys stared at me and I stared back, without the slightest idea what the hell anyone was talking about. But more important than the incomprehensible conversation was the fact that Aaron's hand had been on fire, and I couldn't figure out how it could possibly have been a trick.
No way,
Aaron finally said.
What's your class, Tori?
I pointed at his hand. Was that real fire?
Oh, shit.
Kai muttered.
How did she get past the repelling ward on the door?
How did she know about the job posting? She doesn't even know what the MPD is.
Clara pulled a stool from the back corner behind the bar and dropped onto it.
Darius is definitely going to kill me.
So? I straightened on my seat. You guys planning to explain what you're all going on about?
No,
Clara said.
I'm sorry, Tori, but I can't hire you. You shouldn't even be here.
Sharp disappointment shot through me, followed by stinging rejection. Somehow I wasn't surprised. This job was too good to be true. Whatever they were talking about, I wouldn't beg for an explanation.
If they didn't want me here, I was gone. I pulled my license out of Kai's hand and returned it to my wallet, then slung my purse over my shoulder. Clara didn't meet my eye as I got to my feet. I was about to walk to the door with all the dignity I could muster, but a niggling curiosity stopped me. I swung back toward Aaron. Hey, before I go, could I see the fire thing again? Surprise flickered across his face. Then he grinned. Clara straightened sharply. Aaron, don't! He extended his hand toward me, palm up. Sparks flashed over his fingers. Then flames ignited on his palm, racing over his skin like he'd dipped his hand in oil. Warmth bathed my face. Holy shit. It was real fire. Grin widening, he flexed his fingers. The fire burst outward, engulfing his hand, then raced up his arm and over his shoulder. I jerked back, the heat blasting my exposed skin. He relaxed his arm and the flames extinguished, leaving his skin and shirt unmarked. Whoa! I breathed. That was cool.
No, it was hot.
Ezra corrected. Clara growled. Aaron, you are breaking the law. Stop showing off. She needs to leave.
Aw, come on, Clara. She won't blab. Right, Tori?
Nope, I said with a pop on the P. Besides, who would I blab to? I looked at Kai and Ezra. Can you two light yourselves on fire, too? The corner of Kai's mouth lifted in an amused smirk. He clenched his hand into a fist, and white electricity crackled up his arm.
Fire is overrated, he said.
I turned eagerly to Ezra, but he sighed glumly.
My element isn't flashy. I'm just a boring aeromage.
What's that? He waved his hand vaguely, and a puff of wind spun around me, whipping my ponytail into my face. I shoved my hair back, goggle-eyed. If you three don't cut it out, Clara growled, I'll report you to Tabitha. Aaron flinched.
Don't do that. She's just itching to write me up.
Tori, you need to leave. Now, please.
Hold on,
Kai said.
It isn't illegal for humans to work for guilds.
No, but there are a million regulations we can't meet. Clara shook her head. That aside, it would never work. She'd get eaten alive.
She seems tough enough.
Ezra disagreed. She was tough yesterday because she didn't know she should be afraid. Clara pointed at Aaron. She doesn't know the Sinclair name. She threw a drink on you because she had no idea you could light her on fire in retaliation.
She's hilarious.
Aaron beamed like he treasured the memory of my margarita-throwing meltdown.
We should keep her.
What?
You need a bartender,
Kai pointed out.
Desperately. Give her a chance. See how she does.
But... Clara shook her head again. No, it'll never work. She won't want to bartend for a guild anyway. A guild? I echoed. See, she doesn't know anything. She...
Clara?
Ramsay the cook hollered from the kitchen.
The repairmen are here?
Clara looked wildly from me to the saloon doors. Ramsay stuck his head out. His dark hair swept over one side of his face.
Repairmen?
He repeated.
For the freezer? They're waiting for you at the back door?
As he vanished into the kitchen, Clara glowered at Aaron, Kai, and Ezra. You three, keep your blabber mouths shut. Tori, I'm really sorry, but you need to go. With a final warning glare at the four of us, she rushed into the kitchen. The saloon doors were still swinging when she popped out again, a finger pointed accusingly at the guys as though she'd expected to catch them in the act. I mean it. I'll be back in a minute. She disappeared. I waited to see if she was really gone this time, then glanced at the three guys. Three mages. With a sly smile, Aaron pulled his wallet out of his back pocket, slid his driver's license out, and handed it to me. I blinked down at it. Beneath his photo, the same logo from Clara's paperwork stood out boldly, a 10-digit number beside it. Oh, I murmured. So that's an MID number.
Mythic identification number, Aaron said. A mythic is anyone who can use magic. And we're all registered with the MPD.
an international regulatory body.
Will you get in trouble for telling me that?
He shrugged and slipped the card back into his wallet. I'm always in trouble. That didn't surprise me. Clara's voice echoed from the kitchen, interspersed with the rumble of unfamiliar men. Since she seemed busy, I sidled closer to Aaron.
What's a guild?
He spread his arms grandly, taking in the whole building. This. I pulled my face into a twist of annoyance at the unhelpful answer. Laughing, he slouched against the bar.
It's kinda like a union, for mythics. MPD requires all mythics to be guilded, and the guilds ensure their members follow proper regulations.
And the foremost regulation,
Kai told me,
is keeping mythics out of the public eye. As far as the general populace is concerned, we don't exist.
But some people suspected they existed. Like my brother, a decent minority believed in the wild conspiracy theory that magic hid in plain sight among us and was overseen by a mysterious government-like organization. I'd never given the tales any more credence than UFO landings or lizard men controlling the White House.
Technically,
Kai added,
we violated regulations by letting you in here. But you walked in on your own, so...
How did you find out about this place?
Ezra asked curiously. I dug into my purse and handed him the page with three job postings. He, Aaron, and Kai clustered together to read it. I found it in the street, I admitted. I was having trouble getting work downtown, so I figured I'd give the bartending job a try.
Good thing.
Kai tapped the page.
Things wouldn't have gone well for you at that law office. Those guys are trouble.
The saloon doors flew outward. Spotting me, Clara stomped over. What did you tell her? She barked at Aaron. I told you.
It's fine,
he drawled, waving a dismissive hand.
You should give Tori a chance, Clara. She can handle it.
Could I? My head was spinning and I really wanted to sit down. Assuming this wasn't an elaborate prank or an unusually convincing hallucination, I'd stumbled into a magical guild populated by a fire mage, an electricity mage, an arrow mage, and 40-something other mythics. All those strange people from last night, young and old, normal and weird, were magic users. Clara took my arm and guided me into motion. I'm sorry, but...
Hold up!
Aaron caught my other arm and spun me out of Clara's grip. His hand felt 5 degrees warmer than it should have.
Before you kick her out, let's ask Darius.
I don't think... Clara began fretfully. Aaron didn't wait for a protest. He steered me toward the staircase in the corner, Kai and Ezra following. Clara rushed after us as we headed up the steps to the mysterious second level. The landing revealed a huge room, as large as the pub and filled with work tables and mismatched chairs. A bank of computer desks ran along one wall, and whiteboards, corkboards, and a floor-to-ceiling map of the city covered the other walls. A flat-screen TV mounted in the corner had a scrolling list of text. Half a dozen people, some I vaguely recognized, were working at the tables or hunched over the desks. But I barely caught a glimpse before Aaron directed me to the second flight of stairs across the landing. We zipped up to the third floor and into a hallway, where Aaron led me through an open door. The large room inside held three messy desks, piled with papers, binders, and several monitors each.
Hey, guys,
Aaron said breezily to the three people manning the desks.
Is Darius in?
A woman, tall and thin, with alabaster skin, jaw-length, wispy brown hair and sharp cheekbones gave Aaron a stern stare. You are not permitted on this level, Sinclair.
But since Darius is on this level, here I am. Actually,
the older of the two men said,
Darius isn't here. He left for the MPD conference this morning, which you'd know if you'd listened during the meeting last night.
Aaron grimaced over his shoulder.
Clara, why didn't you say he was gone?
I forgot, she muttered. The third occupant of the room, a blonde guy with a wiry frame and large glasses that I recognized from last night, I'd identified him as a tech refugee, walked around his desk.
What do you want to see Darius about? Darius is the GM, the guildmaster,
Aaron told me.
Clara's the assistant guildmaster.
Her role is mainly administrative. These guys are the guild officers, kind of like shift supervisors. They're next in charge.
Not general manager, guild master.
Oops.
Sinclair, the woman began with a note of irritation.
Clara, you're up,
Aaron proclaimed. She marched past him and turned. Tori, please stay. Aaron, Kai, Ezra, out, now.
But, out!
The other woman barked. Aaron and his friends retreated. Clara shut the door behind him and heaved an exasperated breath.
So, the blonde guy murmured. What's going on, Clara?
She pulled out an extra chair for me and I perched on the edge, evaluating the three officers. The older man, with shoulder-length salt-and-pepper hair, a thick beard, and a glorious mustache, would have looked dignified, if not for the amused arch to his expressive eyebrows. The woman, maybe 40, was beautiful in a marble statue sort of way. Flawless, but without a hint of warmth. The blonde guy was the youngest, probably in his 30s, and really seemed like he should be programming a robot or something.
Tori, this is Gerard, the first officer. Tabitha, the second officer, and Felix, the third officer. Sensterius isn't here.
Clara pursed her lips unhappily. I made a mistake last night. I didn't check Tori's ID, and it turns out she isn't registered.
Is she a mythic?
Tabitha asked sharply. 100% human.
Then send her home.
Standing beside my chair, Clara shifted her weight. She did very well yesterday, and I'm desperate to fill the bartender position so I can focus on my work again. We've never employed a human before, but...
Absolutely not!
Tabitha interrupted. Huh. Given Clara's protest downstairs, I hadn't expected her to vouch for me.
The allowances for hiring non-mythics exist for guilds with public-facing businesses,
Tabitha continued,
which does not apply to us. Humans have no place in or around the Crow and Hammer.
If Tori can fulfill the role, Felix mused, perhaps we should consider it. Claire's been stretched thin for too long.
The girl did a fine job last night,
Gerard added, smiling through his beard.
She tamed our fiery beast with admirable efficiency.
Tabitha's face went even colder.
Regardless, the MPD will never approve her employment. And if we apply, we'll suffer significant fines for the regulations we've already broken.
It may not be a long-term solution, Felix said, but the paperwork will take a couple of weeks to process. It would give Claire a break.
What about the fines?
Felix thought for a second.
Deduct them from Aaron's bonuses.
Hey!
Came a muffled protest from the other side of the door. Growling, Clara turned on her heel and stalked into the hall, slamming the door behind her and leaving me alone with the guild officers.
To be frank, Gerard told me, the chances of the MPD approving your employment are slim to none. But we can hire you until they give an official refusal. Are you interested in working here for a couple of weeks?
I honestly had no idea, but I've never been good at admitting uncertainty to strangers. It seems like it'll be an interesting experience. I'm game.
Your tenacity is admirable, but misplaced.
Tabitha's dark eyes swept across the other two officers.
I won't support her working here, even temporarily. The Crow and Hammer is an exclusive collection of carefully vetted mythics, committed to our mandate and loyal to our success. She's a human, with no concept of guild loyalty.
Gerard stroked his beard.
I always figured we were a ragtag band of misfits and rogues who don't fit anywhere else.
Tabitha glared at him.
Our members count on the skills and competence of their fellow mythics. She's a liability.
She'll be tending the bar, Tabitha, not taking jobs.
What of her safety, then? She was deliberately antagonistic yesterday. Not all our members have perfected their self-restraint, and if she continues that behavior, she could get hurt.
Gerard and Felix regarded each other with furrowed brows, offering no counter-argument. I shifted in my seat, wondering what the hell I'd gotten myself into. They didn't care about Tabitha's other arguments, but the question of my safety had stopped them cold. That did not bode well. Gerard straightened.
I know just the solution. Aaron?
The door opened and Aaron stepped inside, Clara on his heels, red-faced and glowering.
Yes, sir.
Aaron asked with a casual salute. Gerard steepled his fingers.
I am assigning you as Tori's chaperone while she's on the premises. You'll be responsible for her safety whenever she's here.
Wait, what? Gerard! Tabitha began in a cat-like growl.
It's perfect,
Gerard said.
Aaron is well-equipped to keep any antagonism from other members in check, and...
Sinclair inspires more antagonism than...
And it's an excellent opportunity to evaluate Aaron's commitment to taking on more responsibility.
Gerard turned his amused brown eyes on the speechless fire mage.
An officer can't pick and choose his duties, Aaron. If you want to be considered for a future promotion, you need to prove you can approach dull jobs with the same dedication as exciting ones.
But why me?
You brought her up here,
Felix pointed out.
If you didn't want to be involved, you should have kept your nose out of it.
Aaron spluttered.
But how will I get anything done? We're in the middle of the bounty for that rogue sorcerer, and... If you need to delegate, you can ask Kai and Ezra to help you,
Gerard suggested.
Though if you plan to pass the job off to anyone else, be sure they're as capable and committed as you.
But... Gerard turned to his fellow officers.
Any objections?
Felix shrugged.
Sounds good to me.
I object to everything, Tabitha snapped. Gerard sat back in his chair.
We don't have the authority to override Clara's hiring decisions unless there's a threat to the guild. Tori isn't a threat, and Aaron's supervision will forestall any serious drama. I'm satisfied we've addressed the relevant concerns.
A note of finality entered his voice.
The decision is up to Clara and Tori.
Tabitha's dark eyes, flashing with anger, slid to me. Then I hope you'll make an intelligent decision, Tori. I like to think I'm not susceptible to intimidation, but I'll admit my heartbeat stuttered just a little. Still, Tabitha had made a critical oversight. She didn't realize that contrariness was my favorite hobby. At her words, my doubts extinguished faster than Aaron's magical flames, replaced by stubborn determination. Like I said, I announced, casually folding my arms. I'm game. Gerard and Felix smiled. Tabitha glared. Clara frowned. Aaron groaned loudly.
Damn it, new girl. You've single-handedly ruined my month.
I grinned. Even better. Chapter 6. My doubts returned once I was back on the main level. Clara had me finish the new hire paperwork, then vanished into the kitchen to supervise the freezer repairs, leaving me to man the bar along with my new chaperone. Aaron slumped at the table, his head in his arms, while Kai and Ezra watched him sulk with the caring sympathy of close friends. Nah, just kidding. They looked entertained as hell. Zero sympathy in their smirks.
You realize this will completely screw our schedule, right?
Aaron complained, his voice muffled.
We have to be here instead of working for 5 days a week. We don't have to be anywhere,
Kai said.
Just you.
Aaron groaned again.
Ezra, I'll trade you. You do the babysitting, and I'll go with Kai on jobs. No way. I'll give you half my bonuses for however long Tori's here.
I raised my eyebrows, busy wiping down my station while I listened in. Aaron must really want out of this assignment, but I didn't feel bad for him. I felt bad for me having to put up with him all shift every shift.
80%.
Ezra countered.
That's robbery. Forget it then.
60%.
80.
65.
80.
God damn it! Too bad. I would have rather spent my shifts with Ezra than Aaron. I'd even take Kai as a second choice. I finished wiping the counters, eyed the empty pub, then headed for the guy's table. They watched me pull out a chair and sit.
"Are you sure you want this job?"
Aaron asked plaintively.
"You'll be out the door in a couple of weeks once the paperwork goes through."
"I can earn a paycheck while I apply for a new position. It's great." I propped my chin on my hand. "Weren't you the one who said, 'Let's keep her,' less than an hour ago?"
"That was before I had to babysit you."
I shrugged one shoulder. "Not my problem." He glared, a dangerous gleam in his eyes, and the air around him heated.
"You've got a bad attitude, Nuke." "Don't be an asshole, Aaron,"
Ezra interrupted quietly.
"Intimidating her is low."
I almost told them that I wasn't intimidated. A lie, but whatever. Except I was too fascinated by the way Aaron's temper subsided at his friend's calm words. He slouched in his chair, saying nothing. "Yep, I definitely prefer Ezra as my chaperone over Aaron." Too bad Ezra was a tough negotiator. It bothered me that I needed a chaperone at all, but I wasn't an idiot. I had no idea how far in over my head I was. With that in mind, I needed to find out what I'd signed up for. And if I didn't like what I heard, I just wouldn't return for my next shift. Problem solved. Getting up, I poured 4 rum and cokes, then carried them back to the table and set them out for the guys. As I sat, Kai picked up Ezra's glass and put it on his other side.
"Thanks,"
Ezra murmured, picking it up with oddly careful movements. I glanced questioningly between him and Kai.
He would have spilled it all over our stuff."
Kai gestured at the map spread over the table, then added,
"He's blind in that eye."
As I tried not to stare at the scar cutting down his face over his strangely pale eye, Ezra smiled ruefully.
"My depth perception sucks. I have to be careful about knocking things over."
I hesitated, unsure if questions might offend him. I might be ruder than a pirate with a broken peg leg, but I wasn't a total jerk. "What happened?" His expression sobered.
"An accident. There was this ice cream truck." "Not that story again,"
Kai interrupted.
"You need a better one. You don't like the shark attack one either."
"That scar looks nothing like a shark bite."
"Maybe it was a one-toothed shark,"
Ezra suggested seriously. Aaron leaned toward me.
"The actual story is that he was running with a pair of scissors and..." "I hate that one,"
Ezra complained.
"I sound like an idiot." "And you don't sound stupid talking about an ice cream truck."
Okay, forget I asked," I said, waving my hands. "What I really want to know is..." I trailed off, unsure where to start.
"You want to know about mythics and guilds and how much of the conspiracy theory bullshit is real?"
Kai guessed. "Yeah, pretty much."
"How do you even explain it from scratch?"
Aaron took a gulp of his drink.
"There's so much."
Kai rubbed his jaw.
"Should we explain it? If this job is temporary, the less she knows, the better. Even with Aaron watching out for her, she needs to understand the basics."
Ezra said,
"Ignorance is dangerous. She should know about magic classes and their most common orders."
"Oh, so that's why they'd kept asking me what my class was."
"The coolest and most powerful class is Elementaria,"
Aaron told me smugly.
"It only has one order, mages."
"And you three are all mages," I observed. "Fire, air, and lightning?"
"Electromage."
Kai cradled his drink in one hand.
"Aaron is a pyromage, Ezra is an aeromage." "Arcana is the commonest of classes."
Aaron pulled a face.
"Boring as shit. Spellcasting is the most tedious magic you can imagine. All sorts of rules. You need to learn ancient languages and memorize runes, and their incantations sound ridiculous." "Arcana requires a lot of study,"
Ezra told me.
"But it can be very powerful. The other common one is Sikika."
Aaron wrinkled his nose derisively.
"You know, psychic powers and stuff. They can be useful, but most psychics are a little more than charlatans with a minor gift.
Kai stirred his drink with his straw.
The last two classes are Spiritualis and Daemonica. But we only have 5 witches and no...
Wait, I interrupted. Daemonica? As in demons?
Kai and Aaron nodded.
Demons are real? Like, sell me your soul, devil with pointy horns demons?
Not quite like that, but...
Kai pressed his lips together.
Whatever you're picturing, a real demon is far more terrifying.
I may have paled.
We don't have any demon summoners or contractors in the Crow and Hammer,
Aaron assured me.
No Daemonica mythics at all.
That's good, I said faintly. Maybe I should take notes. I already felt overwhelmed. Ezra noticed my dazed look.
There's an easy acronym for the classes. SPADE. Spiritualis, Psychica, Arcana, Daemonica, Elementaria.
I arched an eyebrow at Aaron. If Elementaria is the best class, why is it last?
Because ESPAD sounds dumb.
How do you keep all this hidden? I asked. Guys who can light themselves on fire?
That's not the only thing I can do.
Or make gusts of wind or cast spells or whatever. Why is magic just a rumor people scoff at?
You can thank the MPD.
Kai drummed his fingers on the table.
MPD stands for Megakai Politia Identitia Taurus, and they...
Maggie what? I interrupted, boggled by the dozen or more syllables of whoa shit was that Latin?
Exactly.
Aaron agreed with obvious amusement.
That's why we usually call them Magipol. You know, like Interpol, except for magic shit instead of criminals. They're hella strict. Everything is regulated.
He downed the last of his rum and coke in one gulp.
I need another drink before I even start on that.
With a brief smile, I returned to the bar. But before I could start another round of rum and cokes, a few people from the second floor came down searching for food and drinks. By the time I took their orders, made their drinks, rang them up, and called the order back to Ramsay, another group had wandered in through the main entrance. As I made their drinks, I wondered what sort of mythics they were. Mages, psychics, arcana spellcasters. Hadn't Aaron mentioned witches, too? At least there were no demons among them. Everything else, sure, but I was not okay with literal hellions. Then again, I wasn't sure I was okay with any of this. Guilds, mythics, Magipol, strict rules and regulations. Nervousness fluttered through me, but I squashed the feeling down. I could handle it. A couple weeks of work, then I'd be on my merry way to a nice, normal job. Where standing up for myself meant getting fired, not barbecued by a pyromage. I glanced at Aaron, flanked by Kai and Ezra as they pored over their map. The pyromage was my guardian, but the fact I needed a protector was a big flashing danger sign I really shouldn't ignore. I would have loved to lounge around on Monday, enjoying my day off work, but I had classes. I was up by 9:30 and out the door by 9:45, and since it took 20 minutes at a fast walk to reach the community college, that meant I was late for my 10 o'clock class. Considering what I was paying per course, I should have been focused on every word coming out of the instructor's mouth, but my attention kept wandering. Tax law for small businesses wasn't quite as riveting as it had been on Friday, not compared to the hidden world of magic I'd discovered over the weekend. I hadn't seen Justin yet, and I had no idea what to tell him. He was already a magic conspiracy theorist, which I didn't understand since policemen were supposed to be down to earth and all that, but sharing what I'd learned didn't seem smart. He'd either think I was crazy, or he'd think the job was way too dangerous, or he'd think I was on drugs. As the instructor flipped to the next slide in his presentation, I absently blew my bangs out of my face and squinted at the text. I needed to pay attention if I ever wanted to own a business. Contrary to popular belief, I wasn't stupid. Impulsive and temperamental, but not stupid. I knew I had issues with regular employment. No matter how hard I tried, I always ran afoul of either customers or management. Then poof, My job was gone. I hated the uncertainty of imminent termination hanging over my head. I wanted a job where no one could fire me. I wanted a paycheck that couldn't be docked. I wanted to buy my own